Hi, I'm Daryl Richard, here with DKI Corporate.
I'm Kate Richard. I'm also on the same team as Daryl.
And you're listening to Across the Street,
Across the Country.
We collect the claims data from the insurance companies to produce these industry-wide loss estimates to be able to say, this is how much this hurricane cost the insurance industry in Canada.
It would be great if we did not require the specialized services of experts like those with Cat IQ, but we do. Major weather and human-made catastrophes are, after all, no longer uncommon. Cat IQ's CEO Laura Twidell joins us to explain how their data gathering on disasters helps insurance companies and public sector players. And we'll check in with a family of four as they channel their DKI mojo to get it done, to make one giant climb up a giant structure, all in support of charity. Welcome to the program. My name is Denis Grignon, and this is Across the Street, Across the Country. Mercy, you'd think that hard-working DKI folks would want to take weekends off from sweating and grunting through property restorations or even the sweating and stress of administrative work, provided they're not called out to an emergency, of course, because DKI is available 24/7, which includes weekends. But on a day when they could kick back and give their bodies a rest, many DKI members instead are gearing up for a unique and physically demanding fundraiser. The Foley family of DKI Foley Restoration comprises VP of Operations Brennan, brother Kyle, who's VP of Administration, mom Kelly, who's treasurer, and president and patriarch Mike. But right now, they're not on the job unless that job is climbing the stairs to one of the tallest structures on the planet in support of the World Wildlife Fund Canada. I've reached them where they are steps away from, yes, Canada's CN Tower. Right now, Brennan is at the base of that giant iconic needle in downtown Toronto. Brennan, you're holding the phone, so we'll start with you. First, thanks so much for making the time for us before hitting the stairs.
Yeah, well, happy to be here.
Okay, first set the scene for us. What would I see if I were standing next to you and did a kind of a pivot to look around me?
So we're actually just in the Metro Toronto Center. Everybody gathers here and then we head over to the base for our climb. So we are in a giant room with lots of other people that are excited to do the stair climb.
Okay, now you said excited. I want to know if there's any kind of nervous. Describe to me, and you can all take turns here, describe to me your reaction when you first learned that this kind of fundraiser would involve climbing the CN Tower. We'll start with you, Brennan.
I'm excited. It's a welcome challenge. I do work out quite frequently, so I enjoy a good challenge, and hopefully we get up there in a decent time.
How about your brother Kyle? How, because you got to know that there's going to be a little bit of brotherly competition here, or am I just assuming too much?
He's gonna win. I'm just hoping that I can get to the top. That's my goal today.
can you run alongside each other, or can you even run, or is there a sort of a rule where you have to go at a certain pace?
You're allowed to run, but you might get apparently stuck up if there's a big group of people walking, but there are apparently quite a lot of people that do run it. So we're I think Brennan and a few of the members here are going to try and give it a run, but I'll be walking in the back with everyone else.
So this is Kyle I'm speaking to right now.
This is Kyle.
Okay. You guys got similar voices, which would make sense, I guess.
Yeah.
I want to know what kind of research you did.
I haven't done much other than walk up and downstairs as much as I can and hope for the best.
Hey, can you put your dad and your mom on the phone for a moment?
Yeah, for sure. Here's Mike.
Hi, Mike. We are of about the same vintage, although I remember you being in much better shape than me.
Well, we decided why not give it a try. We figured if the boys can do it, we can do it too. And we figured it's for a great cause, and we're with a whole bunch of other DKI members. So I said, yeah, let's go for it.
Callie, did you do any kind of training, any kind of stretching, or you just try and keep it out of your mind until the moment comes?
Well, we came from the airport. We were on the train and walked over. So that was our bit of a warm up there. But we work out fairly frequently. So anyway, we're going to take the challenge and see what happens.
Can you stop halfway up just to congregate and catch your breath and drink? Because I think there are rules about what you can carry with you, right?
You're not allowed to have any water.
Yes, you can take breaks if you need them.
Yeah.
Brennan, are there people along the way as you're climbing the stairs to just check on you and make sure everything's okay?
I believe so. When we were walking in, we saw five or six ambulances out front. So I imagine they have people on standby.
Well, it's nice to know that that is available to you. Well, listen, I know you're just steps away. I'm going to wish you good luck. Brendan, can we check in with you afterwards when the climb is all done and see what that euphoria was like for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll give you guys a call back when we're finished up.
Okay. Well, best of luck. And yeah, start stretching now.
All right.
Okay. Talk to you later.
We'll hear from you soon. Thanks.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
The following is a DKI tip. Tips are very good, especially homeowner tips. That's why we are now giving you a tip. A tip that comes to you courtesy of
Dwayne Harple with DKI Rocky Cross Construction North in Calgary.
Now, here's your tip.
Don't let clutter turn your laundry room into a fire hazard. Storing items on top of your dryer can obstruct airflow and increase the risk of fires. Keep the area clear to ensure proper ventilation and protect your home and loved ones from potential disaster. My name is Dwayne Harple with DKI Rocky Cross Construction North in Calgary, and that was your tip.
This is Across the Street, Across the Country, a production of DKI Canada, a leader in property restoration, which contributes to creating a better future through environmental protection and social responsibility. Focused on leaving things better than DKI found them, DKI is committed to using environmentally sustainable cleaning products and mitigating risk in environmentally sustainable ways. There was a time when natural disasters were not natural, regular occurrences, or at least they weren't as regular as they are now. Floods, wildfires, hurricanes, record snowfalls. When was the last time we went an entire year without experiencing one of these? They create hardship, havoc, and they are the reason we have a new and necessary industry where experts provide important data on these catastrophes to insurance as well as public sector stakeholders. Cat IQ is very much leading the charge here. It is a subsidiary of Zurich-based Perils. It is also the driving force behind a yearly conference called Cat IQ Connect, which brings industry, academia, and government together to discuss Canadian natural and human-made catastrophes. Laura Twidell is president and CEO of Cat IQ. She holds a master's in atmospheric and oceanic science from McGill University. Laura joins me now from her office in Toronto. Laura, thanks so much for making yourself available for the show.
Thanks for having me, Denis.
We'll get to the conference in a bit and its goal and the kind of speakers you recruit, but I was hoping you could tell us a bit more about the kind of data that Cat IQ provides.
Absolutely. So Cat IQ is in a unique position where we were created by the industry and kind of for the industry. And we do three main things, first of which is forecasting potential catastrophes. And from an industry perspective, when we say catastrophes, it's that a threshold of an event that causes at least $30 million of insured loss affects multiple policyholders and multiple insurers. So we're really looking for that industry-wide perspective on a catastrophe, not just one company sustaining a large claim. When there is an event upcoming that could cause a significant amount of property damage, we have meteorologists on staff that issue out forecasts to notify our subscribers, which most of the insurance and reinsurance industry in Canada are a part of that, as well as other stakeholders. The second piece, we have this Canadian catastrophe loss database where we then collect, an event has happened, now we collect the claims data from the insurance companies to produce these industry-wide loss estimates to be able to say, this is how much this, you know, hurricane cost the insurance industry in Canada. And then the third piece is the industry exposure database, which is probably the most abstract for those not directly in the insurance industry, but it's the total sums insured information. And it's by peril, peril being like wind, hail, or flood, et cetera. And we can say this is how much the industry is insured, or there are policies in place in these areas in Canada. So we can look at overland flood take-up rates compared to fire. So, you know, if you have insurance, you have fire coverage, probably wind and probably hail as well. But those specialty coverages like earthquake and flood in particular, we can really see where those differences are in the market.
So what are the industries doing with the information? Let's say I'm that insurance company, or I'm with the public sector, and you give me all of this data. What do I do with it then? Does it mean I'm adjusting policies or preparing for payouts? Or
yeah, so on the catastrophe forecasting side, the claims teams would be getting ready. The treaty teams, if there's a big event upcoming, they might be getting reserves ready or looking at their reinsurance policies. Post-event at the catastrophe database, what types of claim, what happened. So we put out this bulletin, this report on the types of damage. So then if claims didn't come in immediately, what will those claims look like? What were the average claims in the past for similar types of events so that reserving can be done better? It can help underwriters, actuaries. And then on the exposure side, it's helpful particularly for, we'll say, the public sector as well, for seeing where the insurance industry is really high on take-up rate for Canadians. And, you know, there's DFA arrangements or those disaster financial assistance arrangements that the federal and provincial governments might come in to support where there are catastrophes or damage that isn't necessarily covered by the insurance industry. So they'd like to know where and what amount they might have to come in and support.
I know Cat IQ has been around for about 10 years now. How do you compare year one to today in terms of the kind of information you're gathering when it comes to disasters? I can see you nodding now because this is a growth industry, sadly, in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say we turn 10 years old in exactly a week.
So oh, exciting. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you. For, let's say, the insurance companies themselves, just the data that we've got, the further out we go, the more accuracy they have in there. So the insurance companies have the benefit of like benchmarking themselves to the industry, and they have they can see their trends on how they've been doing. The catastrophe threshold used to be 25 million. That got bumped up to 30 million in 2022. The number of catastrophes that we've seen evolve over the past decade, it's certainly been increasing. We used to have, you know, 8 to 10 catastrophes in a year. And then over the past few years, we've been 15 catastrophes. We've smashed the record out of the park. We had 24 catastrophes, 16 in just 2 months, which is 16 is still more than we've ever had in a year. It's just getting a lot busier.
Do you remember a time, like a maybe a specific year, Laura, when you saw huge uptake from those users of your data?
Absolutely. So one of the big, usually when we have a large event, that's when we'll see the interest peak. And Fort McMurray wildfire, still Canada's largest catastrophe, at least insured loss catastrophe in our history. So people want more information on that. What did that look like if we're potentially expecting to have this happen again? 2021, we had the BC flooding. Those were the big peaks. And I'd even say after 2023, in the fall, we saw a lot of interest because, again, that was a very anomalous year. And hope to say that it is anomalous and not what we will see going forward.
Well, let's all hope. I just wonder if there are, because you are providing a service to these users. Do you still have people who are skeptical, who are just kind of shrugging this off at this point? Or
I'd say the people in the industry get it. You know, they're almost at the front lines of experiencing the increase of an events because, you know, before, you know, you can just dedicate X number of employees to go take on the claims, or, you know, if they're doing the claims adjusting and you're dedicating resources to different parts of the country. Over the past few years, and particularly last year, it was coast to coast everywhere. It was a busy year and it was all happening at one time, and labor and resources were definitely strained. So I think the industry for sure is, you know, experiencing this firsthand and seeing that resources are getting strained. We've gone from, you know, even back 2017, where it was, you know, we should start considering Build Back Better. The conversation has certainly moved, and the industry is moving towards, okay, if this area is a high risk area, how do we get them out? Let's not build back in the same spot.
And I know some of the seminars you've hosted, they are on what you described, those very tangible topics, you know, how flooding can affect real estate prices, for instance, and staffing, all of that stuff. But I have noticed as well in the last conference, you had a number of seminars that dealt with the impacts these have on mental health. Can you tell me about how you're balancing those two areas and how they're being embraced by the people who attend the conference?
Absolutely. So catastrophes impact the homeowner, Canadians, and then we go the next level up and it's the contractors or the claims adjusters that are meeting with those that are impacted, you know, those that are having their worst day, and they have to deal with that. So there's the mental health piece of the homeowner that is having their worst day, and then the person that's responsible for meeting that person. And then, of course, there might the empathy piece, you know, it can affect the person trying to support the rebuild or fixing damage. So there's that part. And then, you know, there's the first responders that are coming in, folks like Canadian Red Cross, mm-hmm. and other groups like that. We've had in the past, you know, single speakers on a panel touch on this, and there's been so much of a request to have an entire panel dedicated that to that topic. Folks like, we had Canadian Red Cross on the panel who's speaking about supporting the homeowner themselves. So there's just all the different facets, and not just about mental health. The rest of the conference, we try to cover that topic as well, where it's, okay, we're not talking about mental health anymore, but how did we respond to this event? What are the best practices, lessons learned? Would we do it again? But would we do our response the same way, the recovery? And then is there anything that could be done now, post-recovery, to try to mitigate the damage in the future should an event like that happen again?
I just wonder about the mood at the events, Laura, because you're there. How would you describe it? Because on the surface, it could seem that it's very sober, maybe even a bit discouraging, or can you kind of temper that, balance it with a hope that's not Pollyanna?
Yeah. So I always say when we start the conference after the welcoming address, I get to go ruin everybody's day by reminding them what happened the previous year. So, but it's just very sobering, as you mentioned, to see all of them again, and you put them all back to back, and it's just quite eye-opening on everything that we experienced the previous year. I always say the CataQ Connect conference is like a big family reunion, and I think others would echo that statement. It's kind of this like, all right, what happened last year? How do we move forward from it? It's very like a go-getter attitude.
So there is that sense of hope you're feeling from some of these people. It's not all like, ugh, where their shoulders are shrugged.
No, absolutely. So I'd say even part of like the how the conference has changed over the past few years, and again, it's not because of the conference, it's the general what's been happening. It's we've gone from that, like, we need to build back better to, okay, we've started to work together. We have government working with industry and other sectors to then put this idea that was, you know, recent as, you know, 6 years ago, something like the National Flood Roundtable. I believe that was like 2016, 2017. And now in the next year, we should be hearing about the National Flood Insurance Program coming out. So it's just been, it's much more of like, okay, we got to do this. Let's, you know, stop complaining about it and we're moving forward. What's the actionable item that we can move forward to make sure that, you know, we're not going to get stuck on licking our wounds about like, oh, climate change, it's hurting us. And we've really moved on to, okay, how do we protect ourselves from this and prevent losses, prevent property damage and, you know, disruption to Canadians' lives and that. So I would say, yeah, hope and a positive attitude, I'd say, is mostly the vibe.
Maybe just finally, Laura, you've seen how catastrophes in your industry and what you do has evolved over 10 years. Let's jump ahead to 10 years from now. What do you think Cat IQ will look like?
Oh, goodness. It'd be neat if we didn't add a lot of catastrophes to the database, but I don't have too much hope for that one, unfortunately. And I think we'll be in a much better place than we are now, just given all of the Build Back Better policies and pieces and partnerships, like I mentioned with FireSmart and other great academic and research groups working towards how can we mitigate losses? How can we adapt so that, you know, if we can't move an area out of a risky zone, okay, let's just now prevent those losses or prevent significant loss. I think we'll be in a much better place to try to prevent those losses in the future.
Well, don't take this the wrong way, Laura, but I'm really hoping you're not going to be as busy 10 years from now, given what you do. So fingers crossed. Thank you so much for doing this. It was a real pleasure meeting you.
It was a pleasure meeting you too, Denny. Thank you so much for having me.
Laura Twidell is the CEO of Cat IQ. To find out more about that yearly conference we discussed, simply go to connect.catiq.com. where you can register for the conference and join Cat IQ's mailing list. Hey, Brennan, how are your knees?
Oh, good, good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I came out of the gate a little hot and realized that around floor 20, it was probably not a good strategy. So slowed it down a little bit. Paced myself, and throughout there's lots of like landings as you go up, and it's just like, should I stop at this one? No, I'm gonna keep going, and just, you know, went through and didn't stop at all. So it was good.
The 20th floor. Oh my goodness. Okay.
144. Yeah, 144 total.
144 floors total. Okay. Is there a moment that stands out for you other than that one, Brennan, for you and or members of your family who are with you?
The top. When you get to the top, they don't tell you there's another 10 flights of stairs that you have to take to actually get to the observation deck. That was a little over the top.
I said it was very cool to do that.
Really? Well, tell me about that moment when you and all the other DKI people, including many in corporate, not just the people in the trucks, that you were all together at the real top looking down. What was that like?
It was amazing. Great that we got to do it.
It was a lot of fun. We were walking along and trying to keep a steady pace. Got up to the 80th floor and the guy said, good job, you're halfway there. And I went, oh no, only halfway. But kept on going and ended up, Kyle and I finished it at the same time. So that worked out kind of cool.
Oh, well, you got to put Kyle on the line. I want to hear about that.
Yeah, it's Kyle here. I was trying to beat him, but nope, we came in pretty well flush. So it was a good experience. I did the same thing as Brennan. I went a little too fast off the beginning. And by the time I got to around the 30th floor, I was pretty struggling, so I had to slow the pace down quite a lot. But it was a great day, and it was great to just do it as a team with DKI and have everyone involved. It was a lot of fun and good team building thing.
Yeah, like in a real tortoise in the hare thing, where maybe the young Foleys thought they could just blast right in, and maybe your parents were able to pace themselves better.
Steady pace proved to be a bit better.
Hey, Brennan, I know you weren't allowed to take your phones up there, and we live in such a society that all of us, regardless of age, we go to our phone. But when you were at the top there, you don't have that option to record it, to take a picture down below. Tell me about that moment of just being able to absorb it without recording it, outside of recording it in your own mind.
I guess a little different, but I try to be more in the moment with most things in life anyways. If I remember to take a picture, great, but I try to, you know, not worry about the phone so much when you're doing cool and unique things.
Hey, I'm going to ask your mom and dad this. You did this with your family, and this, all four of you, you work together. You see each other every day, and here you are on what could be a day off, and you've climbed the CN Tower together. What does that say about your relationship as a family, but also as coworkers?
At Foley Restoration, we always think of our employees and everyone as extended family. So it's an absolute privilege to be able to do stuff like this with our family and our extended family.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're privileged in a way to be able to say that we can do this with our kids. We've always tried to do stuff together as a family. Obviously, we work together, which is kind of cool too. But it's neat to do something that's outside of work, yet is still related to work.
Okay, straight up, is anybody hurting? Is there going to be any Rub A535 or Voltaren in the next couple of hours?
It's Kyle. Yeah, Kyle here. I'll be very sore tomorrow. Walking up the stairs to the office might be a problem.
Well, at least you know who the bosses are, and they are going to know from whence you speak. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe your parents will say, hey, if we were able to do it, you'd show up.
I doubt it.
Foley family, thank you so much for doing this. And thank you for raising money for a very worthy cause in the World Wildlife Fund Canada.
Happy to do it.
Yeah. All right. Glad to be part of it.
Go take care of yourselves now and enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Danny.
Many, many small steps up a tall tower equals one giant step for a great charity. Many thanks to all the DKI folks, including Kelly, Kyle, Brennan, and Mike Foley of DKI Foley Restoration, who recently made that climb up the CN Tower and in the process raised more than $6,000 for the World Wildlife Fund Canada. Special thanks also going out to Adam Sarek for setting up our interview with Laura Twidle of Cat IQ. Adam, you made that happen. Thanks, buddy. Our theme music happens because of the fine work of musical artists Close Kicks and Looking for Heather. Graham Lindsay contributes those musical transitions that tie everything together. Please send us your thoughts on the show via the DKI Canada Facebook page. And don't forget to share the link so that others can more easily find us. DKI Canada provides services to insurance, commercial, and residential clients from coast to coast. Whether it's an emergency response, water damage mitigation, fire and contents cleaning, mold remediation, or a complete reconstruction, DKI members are available 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. If you're ever in need of emergency assistance, the number is 1-855-DKI-TODAY. That's 1-855-354-2329. Across the Street, Across the Country is written, produced, and hosted by me, Denis Grignot. Stay safe. We're back in a few weeks. Talk to you then.